Welcome to Keep Making Movies, the podcast where we explore, shall we say, movies that may have needed a bigger budget. We evaluate the movie for what it is, decide if it could have been improved with a budget, and if it will join our Keep Making Movies official recommend list. I'm your host, KJ, and with me is...
Tom.
Today we are discussing Vincenzo Natali's Cube. This is Natali's first feature-length film following a short and a TV series. In Cube, we follow some people who wake up in separate cubes at first, kind of one room that is, 20 by 20 by 20, and there's a door leading in each of the six directions, up, down, left, right, forwards, backwards, however you want to say it. Eventually, the people start finding each other. They realize some of the rooms are trapped, some of the rooms are not. There's little numbers that seem to serialize each room. They're starting to figure out the patterns. They find one guy actually had worked on the larger structure that is the cube, and now they know there is an exit if they can just get to the edge of the cube. So they work together with a few interpersonal fights and relationships, and eventually figure out that the individual cubes within the cube are moving, and if they can get to the right one at the right time, it'll be a bridge that will lead them out. So Tom, what do you think? What were the goals of the creators of this movie?
I think the goals of the creators were actually fairly interesting. And there's this one conversation where they're discussing what made the cube, why it's here, why they're in it. And they put forward the idea, which I think is the sort of the point of the movie or the imagining, that the cube is the product of a headless bureaucracy. That what you have with this movie is a depiction of the problem of sort of largeness and bureaucracy isn't that there's some monster at the head of a conspiracy looking to control the world, blah, blah, blah. But it's just a bunch of people, each individually doing their job, and no one knows what anyone else's job is or why they're doing it. And no one cares. And the person who came up with the idea has long since left. And so it's just a bunch of people doing stuff in a bureaucracy, and the consequence of it is a giant death machine that has no purpose in the world. And I really like that. I really like that idea of what an actual conspiracy is the deformation of an idea through a headless bureaucratic system in which the consequence is just nonsense.
When you say the individuals, you mean the individual characters, the policeman, the student, the
No,
doctor.
No. Like an individual who, we think of a conspiracy like, I think of like Oliver Stone, right? Oliver Stone has in JFK this idea that at the top of it was LBJ. And LBJ, organized this thing to get Kennedy so he could be president, that type of thing. And what this movie posits as in contrast to that is, there's no one in charge. There's no guy who's like has an evil plan in order to get something or get power. It's just it's the DMV gone amok, right? It's just everybody's kind of doing a little bit of a job that they're being paid for, and they don't really know why they're being paid to do it, and they don't care. And so it's just the entire system is just generating stuff, and it's not generating it for anyone or for any purpose. It's just self-perpetuating, and the consequence of that at one point turns into a giant death machine that's buried underground that doesn't exist for any other reason than people were just kind of doing their job, and the consequence of that was this freaking thing. It's like whatever it is, 10,000 monkeys typing on typewriters and one comes up with Hamlet. It's just a bunch of bureaucracies are just aimlessly doing things, and at one point this thing comes out of it. That I liked.
I don't know how to respond to that, Tom. Where's the evidence in the movie for this idea?
Oh, they have the conversation. At one point, because when they're talking to Worth, who's the one person in there who's actually been a part of it.
Right. He designed the outer layer is what he said. But he didn't know what was on the inside.
It's a little unclear because at one point he says they've been bringing people in here for X amount of time.
Right. He's aware that they've brought people in, but that he didn't know what it was.
Exactly what was going on. But he kind of makes the point to Holloway And Holloway's the conspiracy theorist. She's a doctor and she's a conspiracy theorist. And she thinks like there's, you know, the man is on the top and everybody's kind of working for the man. You know, it's kind of this government capitalist system. And Worth in that scene kind of counters her. And he's like, no, there's no purpose to this. It's nobody's trying to get power here. Nobody's trying to take control over, you know, capitalism or America or governments or the UN. There's no intention here.
Yeah, but right? Then somebody else counters and says, no, this is just some rich guy's fantasy. And he built this so that he could have lab rats walking around in the cube.
The impression I got with that scene was that that rich guy thing wasn't correct. Like, okay, Helen
so
wasn't
you think
right.
The Worth version of what's going on.
Yeah. And Worth has the most information, which was like, yeah, maybe this was some guy's idea at one point. At one point, somebody had something like an idea that was something like the cube. However, once it goes through this kind of system, whatever the system is, these different government contracts and bureaucracies and what have you, it just kind of self-perpetuated.
But then who's bringing people in?
Who's ever in charge of the bringing people in part of the plan?
Oh, so this is like, you know, a Brazil situation.
Yeah, it's just
the movie Brazil.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
with like Robert De Niro. Sparrow. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And the Python who made it.
Terry Gilliam.
Terry Gilliam, thank you.
Yep.
It's that type of thing. Like no one's in charge anymore. Everybody's just doing they're making their own little widget, and they're just doing that. And the consequence of it is normally nothing. And here, it's, you know, giant death cube.
I interpreted that scene as it's almost like in The Dark Knight when the Joker kind of gives different backstories. We don't know which one's correct, and it doesn't really matter. They're all pretty plausible. I thought the goal of the creator was, hey, we have kind of enough budget or whatever to make one room. Mm-hmm. What kind of movie could we tell and make if we had one room? And I could just imagine in the creative room where they're deciding, they're like, all right, well, what if it was a cube? And what if each way had a door, and each of those led to another cube? Like, you can just imagine how this expanded, and then they wrapped a story around that idea. Why would people be going through the cubes? Well, there's so many, they're trying to get out. Oh, okay. Well, what kind of people are we going to put in it? Like, this is kind of how I imagined. So the goal of the creators was to make the movie, not necessarily say anything socially either about bureaucracy or conspiracies or rich people with lab rats or the other ones that the characters kind of brought up.
Mm. I see what you're saying. Yeah, it is a way of avoiding the reason for it, right? Because everybody's going to want to know, why are these people in this cube? And right. So it's, you know, we'll just give every reason, and therefore we have no reason, so we could just play the game. I see what you're saying. Yeah, it seemed like with that scene they had come to the conclusion, thanks to Worth sort of leading that discussion, that it's just a bunch of hands were working on a project and this is what happened. I just got like the DMV just kept running and running and running, and this is the consequence of that. But yeah, I think with the goals of the creators, I think you're right in terms of their creative process, whatever that may have been. It's like, we have this one set.
How can we use it super effectively? Really,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like yeah, yeah. We have this much money for CGI. Yeah.
Well, how do we think they did with their goals and the money they had?
Creating momentum in a single room. They did well. There is really a sense of movement. They do seem to be in different rooms. I would normally think, if you described this movie to me, and actually you did, I thought, well, this is going to be very boring because it's going to appear very static, because first-time directors are shooting in a single room with no furniture.
That's right. These are empty rooms, right?
These are empty rooms, yeah. But it does feel, it feels momentous, right? It feels like the boulder's rolling down the hill in spite of that. And so you do get the sense of that we're moving from place to place. So that I liked. And I think in terms of creating a sense of creating a dynamic sense in a one room space with no props or furniture, with the exception of some boots, that was successful.
Yeah. The other thing I want to point out is this is the earliest of the movies we're doing for this season of Keep Making Movies. This was 1997. All of our other movies are 2000 or later. And I also feel like in 97, it was way more expensive to make a movie like this than it was even as close as 2022. No, what am I trying to say? 2002. Mm-hmm. There we go. The editing may not have been done on a computer for this one. Because in 97, right, Windows 98's not out yet. Like the computers aren't quite what they were in 4 years later when you have Windows XP, right? The processors were just flying in that time period. So I kind of feel like this paved the way or gave some vocabulary or gave some ideas, inspiration maybe, or even techniques to the other movies we've done in Keep Making Movies. And with that, I think they did great.
Yeah, the movie is a little more money, I think, than some of the ones we did. The budget, as I saw it in Canadian dollars in 1997, was about $350,000. Oh, wow. So
that could be a good chunk of change more.
Which
yeah.
is like, it's a decent chunk of change. And it took a while for it to find its feet. Initially, it was rejected, and then it became more popular. Hence, it's now a trilogy of movies and a remake and all that type of thing. So it did take a while for it to find its audience, and I think it had to be redistributed as well. But in terms of what you're saying, like how limits can be inspiring to these other movies. I think so. And I think especially movies like, you know, the science fiction kind of premises that we've looked at too, that's kind of, it seems to be a big part of these low budget movies is, can we restrict the locations we have to go to?
Right. Look at Coherence, right? They had one house, basically one living room for the most part. And they would use that a few different times as other houses, as other living rooms of the same house or living room. So again, I can imagine they're like, oh yeah, just like Cube. We're going to do it just like Cube. Like we're going to.
Yeah, and I guess we could even think of this as a genre of micro-budget movies or B-movies, which is like the single location movie, which tends to be science fiction-y or fantastical in some way. There's some sort of absurdist occurrence.
Yeah, time-lapse, another good example, right?
Mm-hmm. Time-lapse is another one. And that seems to allow the directors a lot more play, and it's interesting, it moves it closer to theater also.
Yeah,
so it actually makes it kind of pre-cinema a sort of sense there.
Yes. Circle,
what's different is this
Beyond the Infinite 2 minutes. Mm-hmm.
Circle, yeah, Circle's another one.
Summer,
yeah.
Time Machine Blues, where we, a little bit, it was mostly in that clubhouse, but they went outside a little bit.
Yeah, Summer Time Machine Blues is a single, yeah, they went outside, they went inside, it's not a single room the way this is, but the locations are very limited. The location is very limited, which is, I guess, why that room never changes, because they couldn't afford to change
right?
The
in
room.
Cube, they said, don't put anything in there so that we don't have to worry about it. In Summertime Machine Blues, they use the same room in different days or different decades, really. But even then, there's nothing, you can't tell it's that different, right? It's,
you have no idea what, yeah, based on the room. So yeah, I think that's interesting. And yet all of these single location rooms, maybe Circle's an exception, actually wouldn't work as theater. You could not have this movie as a stage play. Right? I mean, it sounds like you could, because it's like you could just have the
I'm
the
picturing
cube.
Have you seen Les Mis, Tom?
Oh yes, I've seen Les Mis. Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. And they have the stage that rotates.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, right, you so could do the Brechtian thing. Yeah, and have the rotating.
Well,
stage.
Except you'd have to do it in what, 9 directions? Like it would be insane.
Yeah, I guess you could, yeah, I guess you could get creative with it and figure it out. But yeah. Anyway, I mean, a lot of these movies move closer to theater then, in terms of a kind of saving expense. So that is interesting. It usually involves some sort of premise where they're trapped in the room. But yeah.
Another thing this movie did that a lot of other micro-budget films that I've seen do, and I try to stay away from, is gore. So in the beginning of the movie, it starts with a dude getting sliced and kind of falling apart. Mm-hmm. And then the next bit of gore, we get Ren, the escape artist. He gets chemicalized on his face primarily, and then you see his corpse for a while. Like, they're like, hey, look at this corpse. Mm-hmm. Look, 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 look.
Yeah. Spend all our money on it. You're going to look at it.
On a corpse, you're going to see this strange corpse. And a lot of other micro-budget films that I've seen, it feels like the goal is, oh, I have this really cool, gory idea. How can I build a movie around it? And Cube almost went in that direction, right? I can imagine they may have wanted more traps to show more gore of more, but I'm glad they didn't. I think after those first two bits of gore, there's hardly any.
No, everything else is pretty tame relative to
pretty
that.
Clean. Yep.
Yeah, and the first gore scene is, we see actually the first person is a guy who walks through into another room and a grid kind of cuts him into little pieces
with razor wires.
Yeah. Then, as you're saying, the guy gets his face burned. And I thought we were going to be kind of in for it in a sort of torture porn type of way. But you're right. It never really comes back. And even when other people die, we don't really see it, right?
No. And apart from that, most of the people don't die to the cube rooms,
mm-hmm.
right? They all end up kind of killing each other.
Yeah. Yeah, they sort of figure out the cube problem pretty quickly. Yeah,
pretty quickly, which I think you'd have to, right? Otherwise, you need a much larger cast if you were going to start killing them off.
Yeah, if they had to screw up every room and
to figure it out. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, do we think a budget would have helped? Do you think if they had more money?
No, because as you're saying, right? If you had more money, that throws in the temptation to have more gore and to have more elaborate things happen to these poor people. I don't think that's really the problem. I don't think the problem was budgetary. I think this movie is it's not a very good movie, but it has nothing really to do with the budget. And I think you're right. A greater budget would have just made it grosser, I think. And I imagine the other Cube movies are probably a little more extreme.
The other thing that was in Cube is they had CG, which again, for 97... Right, we're 4 years after Jurassic Park, so for a smaller budget film to have CG,
mm-hmm.
I think it's pretty cool, and I think they used it well. It was mostly for the outside of the cube.
Yeah, they use it sparingly. It's just to see the rooms move around, which you see at the end, which is the big reveal, right? Is that the prime number code? It's actually factors of the prime number, and the factors tell us what position the rooms are in, you know, that type of thing.
You know, I've never tried to determine if a three-digit number is a prime number over and over and over again.
Mm.
Is it that challenging?
I didn't think so,
is
right?
It, just... What was the line? Is it like, you need like say, a cramming?
For... Yeah, yeah. You, like, it's, oh yeah, what is her
cramming
line?
For...
yeah. It's like cramming for finals, not on coffee, something like that.
Right, something, yeah. That was one of the great lines. Mm. Hey, let's go through some of the great lines.
Yes.
Tom, what was your favorite line in this movie?
I think this is the cop who's kind of in charge and then turns out to be the villain. Listen, woman, every day I mop up after your bleeding heart.
Jeez. I liked very early on that the doctor says, cats, holy, holy cats.
I love that line.
My head whipped around and like looked at the screen like, wait a minute. I forgot what movie we're in. This is going to be great.
Yeah.
Another one, the cop says to the student, you beautiful brain. And then when the student figures out the prime numbers, she screams, prime numbers, prime numbers. Wonderful.
And also the doctor has one line where she's like, they came into our homes, they stripped us bare, they took our jewelry.
Right.
Like, yes. Like it builds to like they kidnapped us, they put us in a death machine, but the worst of it was they took the jewelry.
Even my earrings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you, his coat rack? When they like,
yeah, that
like
was held. The one. Yeah, no build up to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh God. Have you been on glue all your lives? Oh, sticking your nose up other people's a-holes to smell their business. God, that was delightful. Yeah, and how should we say this? What did you think of the acting?
So I we've talked about this on our other show, Talking Picture Trivia. I think I'm either really fortunate or blind. I thought it was fine. I don't I think I can recognize really good acting, but then all the rest just kind of works for me.
Everything else is like Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's
Right.
right in the middle. Okay. That was the so bad it's good element to it for me, was that everyone was sort of really, really over the top, especially Holloway and the cop.
Cop.
Yeah, they're both, and even Worth, I think Worth is probably the more successful actor of the group. He went on to do some things, but even Worth is, really kind of swinging for the fences. And part of it is also the character designs don't, they're not given a lot. So like Worth is for some reason nihilistic. That's his one defining character trait, is he just doesn't think life has a lot of meaning. We don't know why he thinks that. We don't know anything about the man. We know he apparently, we don't even know what his job is really, other than to design the outside
Cube,
of
right?
cubes.
Some hire for contract engineer guy that was smart enough to do that.
That's all we know about him. Holloway is a conspiracy theorist doctor who works in free clinics, I think. That was what we get out of her.
I knew she was a doctor. I didn't pick up on the conspiracy theory
Well, she
part
kind
and
of
all
is
that.
she kind of is like, oh, it's the cops are in on it and the government is in on it, and she kind of voices a lot of like intense conspiracy theories, though that could just be the fact that they're in a giant conspiracy that's killing
Right,
them.
like
It may just be a
when
reason.
in Rome, right? Like the
Exactly.
Centurions are real. Like it's you know, one thing I was watching this movie this time, I don't think I could have gone to room like they did. I looked like after three or four, I would need a 4 hour nap. Right, climbing those ladder, like forget about the door on the very top, or trying to go down through the door on the bottom. Even just climbing, what is it, 10 feet up, 10 feet down, 10 feet up. That would, like, my muscles and stuff would not have been able to.
Yeah. How long are they in there for? Because there is a time jump. Yeah, so they're in there for 8 or 9 hours initially. They take a nap for a few hours, and then they're back at it again. And I think the rest of it's more or less in real time, isn't it? So it's another, so they're in there somewhere in the 13 to 18 hour range. One of the things they did with makeup was they made their lips look more chapped as it went along.
Oh, I didn't recognize that.
Yeah, I think they did that. That, unless the actors just couldn't afford makeup or something.
Well, I read they shot each color, so they didn't have to change the lighting all the time. So I believe they shot all the red rooms, then all the, I don't know, all the blue ones, all the white ones, whatever.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. But yeah, it seemed like it was another thing. It was like they're getting chapped lips and all this stuff from at half a day
The dry air in the cube.
of yeah, walking around.
Well, and what about the button thing? Is there a risk if your saliva doesn't keep moving?
Yeah, I didn't understand that either. Like, is that a,
Is that a survival tactic? Like,
I don't know.
why do you want your saliva to keep
Moving,
moving?
yeah, I have no idea, but I would assume you just get dehydrated.
And why are they so mean to the guy in the spectrum?
Yeah, I know. It
That
was
was brutal.
weird. I think it's just like they each have their own defining trait. So, like, the doctor is the bleeding heart. So
Oh,
she's
so in order for
nice.
her to be a bleeding
Yeah,
heart,
she's nice to
everybody else had to
Kazan.
be.
Yeah. And the math student is the math whiz. And that's what she does. And, nobody else does math. we think, because she's the math whiz. And so no, the doctor can't do math, even though she's a doctor, because, you know, then we have this person. Yeah, you know, that type of thing. Right. And the cop has to be like the jerk in charge, and Worth has to be the, like, they can't have full fleshed out characters for some reason, because then their one little widget thing wouldn't function, I suppose, is the argument. But yeah, it was bizarre how mean they are to him.
Yeah, it, yeah. And I guess I don't remember the 90s that well. Were we just that mean back then?
I think it's just...
That wasn't a time thing, right? That was a...
Yeah, that's just the movie. I think it's just... it's a problem with these movies and with when you're, I guess, writing your first... We see this with like a lot of first movies where it's like the conflict is sort of forced. So it's like, we need more conflict. We need tension here. So, you know, the man on the spectrum, he's going to yell, and that's going to be horrible for everyone. They're all just going to yell too, because they're going to get really angry and, you know, et cetera, as opposed to how normal humans would act, which would be like to comfort him or to just deal with it, you know.
And then if Nick was here, I think he'd mention this. When at one point they take their shirts and stuff and make a rope so that they can hang off the cube. I don't remember exactly why they wanted to hang off the cube, to see something, or I don't know. But they don't tie it to one of the convenient handles that were there, just in case they all drop it at once.
That's a good point. Yeah. Or like the wheel on the door. They don't do that. You know, they don't tie it to the wheel. There's a lot of things they should have.
They could easily tie it to. Yeah. So what do you think, Tom? Does this make the list?
Does it make the list for me? This movie was fun to watch. It wasn't, it wasn't boring. It was hammy enough to laugh at and to, you know, text each other the our favorite quotes and all that type of thing. It was inventive in its limitations. And so we'll give them the tip of the cap and say, go on, keep making movies. How about you? What do you think? Does he make our list?
Absolutely. I truly believe Cube paved the way for a lot of the other movies on our list. Now, it's a little strange because it's the first micro-budget movie I think I saw, so I'm probably pretty biased here. An audience, let us know if there's more inspiration earlier than Cube of this idea of, you know, people making movies not quite in their basement, but, you know, on a low budget. And I think it has everything a micro-budget film should have, but doesn't do any particularly part of it well, if that makes sense. Like, it's not like, oh, it's the micro-budget film that did this well, but not the other things. It kind of did them all the same level.
Yes, it captures this genre very well, right? If you need to lay out the tenets of what makes a keep-making-movies movie, this is it, right?
Cube.
Limit locations.
Limited cast.
Small cast. Pseudo sci-fi element or fantastical element.
Yep.
And I would suppose like the characters are inclined to get angry at each other very, very quickly for
right, like incoherence.
Yeah, coherence. Or even in Circle. Where, I mean, Circle's got a little more justification because they're killing each other. Yeah.
Yeah. The stakes are pretty high for the characters. Yeah.
But, yeah.
So it's official. Cube has made the list. So please, Vincenzo Natelli, keep making movies. Audience, what's your favorite movie by Natelli? Let us know on social media at Talking Studios.
You can rate and review this show anywhere fine podcasts are available. For those viewing in YouTube land, if you haven't already, please like this video, subscribe to the Talking Studios channel for all our exciting content, and follow us on social media at Talking Studios. Check out other shows by Talking Studios, including Talking Pictures Trivia, where we explore movies through trivia, Limited Lexicon, where we play through text-based adventure games, Get the Point, where we slowly reveal a movie poster and try to guess which movie poster it is, and Adapt It, where we explore adaptations in various forms. Got a question for us? Call the Talking Studios hotline at 201-467-8679 and leave a message. It may be featured on a future episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Keep Making Movies, wherever fine podcasts are found.
And that wraps up season one of Keep Making Movies. Please stay subscribed, and one day you'll be pleasantly surprised that another episode of Keep Making Movies will pop into your podcast queue. In the meantime, keep making movies.
Wow, Talking Studios,